This is Amend and Progress, your go-to podcast from Vidori for all things promotional material review. Get ready for actionable insights, valuable perspectives, and best practices to elevate your workflow and team morale.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Amend and Progress, Vidori's podcast about the material review process. I'm your host, Annalise, and today we're going to be talking about AI, its relationship to content management and the material review process within the life science industry. Joining me in the conversation today is Nikki Drelishars, VP of Product Management at Vidori. Nikki is responsible for setting our product strategy and overseeing product R&D at Vidori. Nikki, welcome to the show. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me. So happy to be here.
Awesome. Did I pronounce your last name correctly?
You did.
Okay, good. You would think after 5 years of working together, I would have that down, but it caused me a little bit of hesitation when I was preparing this morning, so I wanted to make sure.
It is not an easy one, so.
Awesome. Well, I'm glad it was in the realm of being correct. Before we get into the AI conversation, lots to cover today, you know, hot topic, and so excited just to get your perspective on this today, but let's start with some easy getting to know you questions. How's that sound?
Sounds good.
All right. First one, what is your morning beverage of choice? We're in the morning here. So what do you pick up in the morning time?
Oh, coffee. I look forward to it every single morning.
Okay. And how do you prepare said coffee?
Oh, so during the pandemic, I bought myself an espresso. So Ooh. I will usually make a latte. That's my favorite.
Okay.
Yeah, it's I look forward to it every morning.
So there's like the steam wand. You've got like the whole setup for your morning latte.
Actually, mine is a lot more low tech than that. I might have a cup of milk.
Okay. Still fares. Okay. Okay. Well, I mean, latte all the same.
Yes.
Okay. Excellent. Still delicious. Still the best part of the morning. I'm right there with you. What is your current or favorite hobby?
Probably would be reading. I don't watch a whole lot of TV, but reading is my favorite way to kind of unwind and get lost in, another world.
Yes, I'm a good reads friends with you, and I know you have an extremely high metabolism for books, so that one I know. What is one productivity hack or best practice that you use in your daily life?
You know, everybody's got a to-do list. I like to, every morning, take a look at my to-do list and pick the three most important things that I have to get done that day. It really helps me to prioritize what can be a lengthy to-do list of things and focus on what is the most important. And then if I tackle those three, I'll pick the next set of items. But it really just helps me to focus a little bit. I also like to tackle the smallest one first, just to gain a little bit of momentum first thing in the morning.
Okay, so you are opposite of like the eat the frog mentality. You go sort of like, let's get one off the list quickly, and that builds momentum for the day.
Yeah, well, it's kind of satisfying to get one done, so sure. I like to tackle whatever is the smallest one first.
And are you digital to-do lister, or are you a pen and paper person?
Pen and paper for my, you know, things I have to get done that day, only because I get immense satisfaction out of crossing things out. But I do also have a digital to-do list for all the running things that I know have to get done. So really, I'll just focus on writing down what I have to do, those top few things for that day, and cross them off. So,
okay. I mean, you're highly organized. Yeah. I love it. Well, thanks for entertaining those questions. It's just like fun to get to know people at the beginning of the conversation. Okay. We're here to talk about AI. And you and I were even exchanging messages yesterday because you had sent me an article from Fierce Healthcare. They had done like a bracket of healthcare industry buzz terms, right? It's tied to the March Madness thing. And I think like the final was between generative AI and breaking down silos, and generative AI won. And I think what another poignant example of the ubiquitousness of AI, we're seeing it everywhere, right? It's everywhere. Yet there's this like nod to a comical aspect of that as well. Like, and it's everywhere. Like it's such a buzzword that they made a bracket out of it and it won. And so I'm just curious, like, as a VP of product, how do you feel about AI? Are you being asked about this a lot? Do you feel pressure to have a strong opinion? Like, where do you stand? And like, are you just feeling about this in sort of today's world?
Yeah, you know, I think it is exciting to see so much innovation in AI, but I think it also is just, you know, interesting to see where it's being applied and how successful it is in certain areas, because, sure, you know, it has to be done well to be effective. And so I think, like, my personal opinion is that there's so much, the AI landscape is just evolving and changing, mm-hmm, every single day. There's a dramatic increase in capabilities, and that comes with some challenges, right? Can the AI models get it right? It's sort of like such a buzzword and overused, mm-hmm, because everybody's trying to do it. Not everyone is doing it well. The ones who are doing it well are, you know, creating some really incredible advancements in technology. And so I think, mm-hmm, that it's like the amount of information can be overwhelming to just even digest in terms of where the AI landscape is going. But it is exciting from my perspective. I think that there's so much opportunity, especially in the life sciences space.
Mm-hmm. And, like, are you being asked about it a lot these days? Like, are customers asking you about it? Do you have, like, internal Vidorians asking you about it? You know, how much space in your day goes to thinking about or talking about AI?
You know, I think that we are talking about it with customers. I will say that we've been actively meeting with our customers over the last few months to share our 3-year roadmap. And we've seen, as we talk about AI, some customers, mm-hmm, are incredibly excited about it and some have reservations. And, mm-hmm, you know, our customers, you know, with over 100 customers, they span all parts of the industry, pharma, yeah, device, diagnostic, nutrition, small enterprise. And so we're naturally going to see that spread, right? Some excited, some hesitant. And I think that trying to understand where the hesitations are coming from the customers who are hesitant, is really helpful for us to understand how we navigate AI, you know, mm-hmm, how we'll take maybe a crawl, walk, run approach to introducing AI capabilities ourselves. Yeah. And I'm sure that's not unique to life sciences, but I think that, like, you know, the risk tolerance of the organization and just really understanding what areas can benefit from AI probably.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So Nikki, you've talked a little bit about our customers' perspective on AI, right? Or maybe their feedback. Some are excited, some are hesitant. There's a whole spectrum in between. What about the industry? What about the regulators? You know, what are we seeing from, you know, the headlines from the life science industry in terms of AI, its perspective on it?
Yeah, so it's super interesting. In life sciences, we're already seeing a lot of AI being used today in drug discovery. Mm-hmm. I know that the industry news publications I receive every day are riddled with articles about the innovative ways that these life science companies are leveraging AI to further their products. Just last week, I saw that the FDA had granted marketing authorization for a AI-driven diagnostics tool to help detect early signs of sepsis. So, you know, super exciting to see how AI can be used in furthering patient care. We are still seeing, as I mentioned, with our customers, you know, some reticence in AI in the fields of content creation and regulatory compliance. I think from a regulatory standpoint, you know, it will be interesting to see what FDA's stance is on AI in material review. They've been relatively quiet on the topic. Obviously, they've weighed in on AI for, you know, drug and device development, especially, you know, with, you know, approving certain devices that you leverage, mm-hmm, AI. So I think they're aware, obviously, of AI.
I'm hearing it's unregulated, a little bit unpredictable. There's some thinking of AI in life sciences, but in other areas like material review, there aren't as clear of, you know, guidelines or even thinking from the FDA. How do you anticipate, or what are sort of the ways that you think AI can amplify or elevate material review, knowing that it's not going to take that subjective task away from the human? You know, what are some of the ways that you're thinking about infusing AI within our material review, you know, product, and just like some examples of how you think this is going to show up?
Yeah, I think that, you know, we see the greatest opportunity for AI to improve the inputs going into the MLR review process. Mm. Reviewers' time is really precious, and they often have a lot to review and a limited amount of time to do so. Yeah. So I think that there's a tremendous opportunity to mitigate a lot of the repetitive tactical triage, the time that they're spending reviewing the objective aspects of the content, so that we can enable them to spend their limited amount of time on the subjective, really reviewing the meat of the content. You know, if we think about MLR content creation as a continuum, you've got the creation of the content, the preparation and substantiation, the review and approval, and the distribution. We're already seeing AI used quite a bit on the distribution aspects. So there's a lot of sales enablement tools out there that will recommend materials based mm-hmm. on prior ones that a sales rep has used and the customer reception to those. But really, there's a substantial opportunity upstream of that process in the preparation and substantiation phase to improve the quality of the content that's feeding into the review mm-hmm. process to ensure those reviewers can focus on the meat of the content. So, you know, on the substantiation front, identifying the claims being used in a document, potentially identifying new claims in the material that have not yet been approved or areas that are lacking mm-hmm. in substantiation. Before sending materials in for review, having some sort of automated check for common reasons that content is getting sent back. Branding issues, spelling mm-hmm. issues, potentially non-compliant copy being used in there. So maybe a piece of copy that had previously been rejected. If you can flag those things earlier on in the process, it could really help reduce that cycle time. So it's not going to go back mm-hmm. for recirculation and ultimately get the content to market faster. So really that's where we see yep. the greatest opportunity.
So I think like making the time that people do spend within the review process more focused on the subjective aspects and like better spent time is sort of where if I were to summarize all the things you just said, it's like help people make the most of the time that they're spending within the review instead of being like, oh my gosh, there's a typo within this headline. It's got to, you know, go back. So you can imagine for the reviewer, there's a lot of benefits here. And from a content creation standpoint, quality content is going to become really important here because the content you feed in is going to have to bypass those checks. Right. Similar to how it does today, but perhaps there's even more of a pressure or emphasis placed on there because potentially it couldn't even get to review in the first place. So I think like all parties, no matter where you sit, are going to have to be like cognizant of how it's being used and sort of where AI, these like pre-checks, like just making sure that what's being fed in is going to make it past those initial steps.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it puts more ownership, I guess, and pressure on those who are creating the content to make sure it is sound, but mm-hmm. really helps to reduce the amount of time that the reviewers are spending in, you know, you have your reviewers reviewing to make sure that the correct logo is used in the right spot. Yeah. Like, you know, that can be automated, really saves everybody mm-hmm. a lot of time.
Not maybe even a bad thing. Like as someone who creates content, if I need to take I'm just thinking in my personal perspective, maybe not a bad thing that I need to really be like, you know what? Truly, really believe that this is the best version of this content that's going into review. I think like from a collaboration standpoint, everyone just knows that like the only stuff that's getting submitted is that is of the highest quality. So a bit of a cultural shift, perhaps, not saying, you know, because some organizations are doing quality content already, but I'm just anticipating there might be some like shifts in how people participate in the process or think about it, those types of things.
I think that's also why the using AI in the creation aspects, so generative AI, for example, carries a lot more risk for this process. Mm-hmm. You know, it's definitely a possibility to use generative AI to create more promotional content. Yeah. But is that always a good thing? Probably not, right? AI can create more content more quickly, but, you know, I think in this case, quality over quantity is important. And also, mm-hmm. you know, the outputs of the AI model are only as good as the inputs. And so how do we ensure that the claims that this you know, generative AI are making are accurate? How do you foster trust in what it's spitting out? So I think that there's just a lot more risk in the content creation aspects than there is in other parts of the process.
If you were to leave someone with a parting thought around AI and material review, what would you say?
I think that, I think as companies are considering whether or how they leverage AI in their organization, I think that it's important to start to have an open dialogue about AI. Mm-hmm. What does that mean within your organization? What's your organization's stance on AI? Can you get comfortable as a team with leveraging AI in certain parts of your material review process, for example? And I think that, you know, everybody's kind of talking about AI. Like I said before, not everyone is doing it. Not everyone is doing it well, but everybody's talking about it, thinking about it. So I think starting that dialogue, starting to think about how you might want to leverage AI, but also talking to your vendors about their plans for AI and, what are their plans? How would your data be used? Is it optional? You know, it really helps you to kind of have a collective organizational attitude about how you plan to use AI. I don't think it's going anywhere anytime soon. Yep. So having that conversation and starting to understand what does AI mean for you, what does AI mean for your company is definitely valuable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a really important point, is not to wait until you are ready to implement it to have the discussion, right? Think about what your organizational point of view is on it early. You have that dialogue is so important. So I think that's an excellent parting thought. Well, Nikki, I feel like potentially there'll be additional conversations we want to do on AI, but I think that's a perfect place to end the conversation for today. Thank you so much for coming on and just sharing your perspective.
Thank you.
And everyone, please, the conversation does not stop here. Follow Vidori on LinkedIn for updates on new episodes. Join on the conversation. We'd love to get your feedback or questions related to any of the Amended Progress episodes to date. Subscribe to Amended Progress on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. Until next time, this is Annalise signing off from Amended Progress. Have a fantastic day.